Adam Klein, Global Graduate Director, faculty member at New Ventures West. This is episode 11 of our podcast, Stepping In, a podcast where we delve into how integral coaching can address some of the most pressing issues we face as individuals, communities, and as stewards of our planet. In this episode, I sat down with Cynthia Luna, a faculty member at New Ventures West and a partner at LF Leadership. Recently, Cynthia completed a pilgrimage along the Camino de Santiago, known in English as the Way of St. James. This large network of ancient pilgrim routes, walked by hundreds of thousands of people each year, stretch across Spain, France, and Portugal, coming together at the Tomb of St. James. As we began our conversation, Cynthia outlined for me the three essential elements of any pilgrimage. And this is one way to orient to our professional coaching course. I hope you enjoy the episode.
Every pilgrimage starts with a particular calling. There are many reasons why people would go into a pilgrimage. But it starts with some inner desire. Like a true pilgrimage is an inner calling to something inside of ourselves that is wanting to come out, or is just wanting to be listened to. So in our lives, we receive many callings to step up. Like, you know, a child getting sick. You know, what's my response to that? Not just right here, but, you know, am I leading, coordinating doctors, coordinating care, coordinating the school, etc. Right? So that's one possibility. Or, we might be working in an organization and there's this inner instinct, let's call it that, to say, hey, we can do this better. How can we organize ourselves to do this better or to achieve this thing? So this happens along the way throughout the human journey. And it doesn't happen one time. Our life is filled with callings into the deep commitment in our heart to contribute in small and big ways. We saw that here in Mexico City last September. We had a really big earthquake here. And one of the most moving things is how people just immediately after the earthquake, people went out to help. There was a movement to be of contribution. So that's one line about pilgrimage, leadership, and the journeys of our lives. Now, in pilgrimage, you know, I see pilgrimages. For it to be a pilgrimage, it has three components. It has the calling, it has the journey, and it has an intended destination. That's, you know, just in very vague terms, is what makes a pilgrimage. So the journey is about taking action in some way, right? So in a traditional pilgrimage, the action is we're going to walk X number of miles or kilometers every day to reach the destination. Or the example I was giving of a sick child is we're going to, take the child to the doctor, coordinate care, coordinate the family, talking to schools, right? So there's a journey in that. And the destination would be for the health of the child. So there are these three very distinct components. But what's beautiful about the journey is that while there's a part that we know that calls us to contribute, there's also a big part that we don't know. Anthropologists call this the liminal of life. And in the journey, it is in being open to what you don't know that shines light into a new way of seeing life and a new way of seeing yourself. And I'm going to tell you my a personal story about this particular journey. When I was on my way to Spain, I had a layover in Dallas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, and I called my mom just to say farewell because I didn't know if I was going to be able to talk with her while I was in this journey. And I'm on the phone with her, and she starts screaming and tells me that there's an earthquake. And I stay on the line as much as I can, and then the line drops. And I don't know what's happening, and I can't contact people. And the news at the airport is all this alarming news around buildings falling and there being a big disaster here in Mexico. Fortunately, I was able to reach people through text and other ways of communication, and you know, my family was fine. But there was something about there was something in me that was so devastated by it. And I've known myself to be a person of action, a person who helps others. But it feels very, you know, in my body around taking action. A lot of my friends went to the areas where buildings had fallen and were helping people or helping, you know, getting things out of there. Others organized to feed the volunteers. Others organized with donations. There was all this like doing that helped with what was happening. And I was just stuck in a plane to go to Spain, or on my way to Spain, not knowing what to do, which created an interesting twist for my my camino, my pilgrimage, that I had not planned, I was not expecting. The first few days that I walked, it was really hard to stay fully present. And my commitment, one of my commitments to be there was to really immerse myself into the experience so that, you know, I had this expectation of a personal awakening and transformation through this. So I'm there and I'm doing the movements of being on the walk, being on the pilgrimage, but my heart was devastated, and my heart was in Mexico while my body was in this amazing pilgrimage that I had planned for so long and so wanted to be there. So there was this inner contradiction. It was, you know, what we call a polarity within me about wanting to be there and wanting to be here. And so, you know, a few days went like that until I started booking around me in this magnificent beauty that the Camino has. And I started noticing that there are all these altars that people create along the way. And, you know, they make them with leaves and rocks and things that they find along the way, branches. I was really puzzled by this. Some people leave socks and shoes and, you know, really, but there was something so moving about it. About this natural movement of humans to pray. And I'm, you know, not speaking here in the Christian way or, you know, other ways about it. Of course, you know, anyway, there's a lot of legacy from the Christian world around pilgrimage, but this is not what I'm talking about. But there are ways in which human beings seem to have an innate longing to be connected, not just to themselves, to each other, but to spirit, whatever that means for each of us. So it dawned on me that, okay, I might not be able in that moment to be in Mexico City helping, taking people out and feeding people and managing all the kinds of amazing contributions that my people were doing. But I could start praying with my feet. And it brought such a shift to this person who I believe I am, of this person of action in the world, to a different way of contributing that was much more subtle, but that I felt was mine to do in that moment. So I shared this story. Of course, there were like the blisters, and and I have a twisted ankle and all kinds of other types of challenges. But I bring this story just to show a little bit of the importance of opening in the journey, and that the being in the place of not knowing, and really paying attention to our world, and in that including ourselves, of course, it opens new possibilities for each of us as human beings. That I felt by the time that I arrived to Santiago de Compostela, which was my destination, I felt that I had greater capacity to be in the world, not just from what I know and my capacity in my body, but the power of my heart. And so I'm beginning to see the importance of that in the world and in the work that we do as coaches. Now, you might be surprised that I say I'm beginning to see. I've been, doing coaching for the past 15 years. And of course, we talk about emotional intelligence and relational intelligence, even social intelligence. But I'm speaking about a very particular, different way of being in the heart from our own brokenness, which really feels that that is what the world needs right now. But here's what I see after much steering and reflecting and writing and conversing, is that our good author, Michael Mead, in his Faith and Destiny book, he has this concept that we're all born with a contract to contribute to the world. So that really left me thinking about that this contribution, this contract that we're born with, that he says, it's our agreement to lead. So I started thinking about leadership as an essential quality of human beings. So, when I say leadership, maybe many people will think, oh, am I the leader of my organization? Am I the leader of this nonprofit? Am I the leader of this project? Am I the leader of this team? But no, that's not the type of leadership I'm talking about. Of course, those could be manifestations of faith. But when I started bringing together the concept of leadership and pilgrimage, along with this concept that Michael Mead talks about of being born with a commitment to contribute, that we you know, as we start having experiences in our life, we start forgetting about that, or it starts being part of the background of our life. And if we could start just a simple practice of listening to our callings, the true callings from our heart that connects us to our initial agreement that we made when we were born to contribute. We just have a practice to listen and to respond to them and to be open to our journeys, to learn from them, that in a way that it helps us to be more in contact with ourselves, with each other, with our environment, I believe that the world would be a much better place than what we have right now.
So in what you said, there were many things coming up for me. And I think maybe one place to start is, so the Taoists talk about the mandate from heaven, which is, you know, another way of talking, I think, about what Michael Mead is speaking to about this contract or contribution we have, and that we can hear or and tune into the mandate from heaven in our hearts, that's where it lives, that's where it resides. But what struck, one of the things I think that struck me most though in listening to you, though, is how, at least in my experience, in our culture, we want that mandate to be so clear. Like, okay, so what is it then? And okay, I'll sit and listen. And then I'm going to have this expectation that it's going to come to me in some way of which, okay, now I know exactly what it is. And now I'll go do it.
That's right.
Yeah,
but it's going to be grand.
It's going to be grand. It's going to make a mark on the world. It's going to make a mark on the world. Everyone's going to appreciate it, and I'll feel totally fulfilled by it. But it's way more like what you're describing. It's way more pilgrimage oriented. Like there's this word that I think it was so beautiful when you said it's like an instinct. There's an instinct to like move in some kind of vague direction. This is my understanding of kind of how it unfolds. And so you start moving in that direction, which is much like a pilgrimage, and you don't know where the destination is. And it may not be grand. It's going to be filled with blisters and twisted ankles and limitations, like you were saying. That was one of the things I was also hearing in your story when you were talking to your mom, the limitation of I am here and I so yearn to be over there. And so what am I going to do now? But what you so beautifully spoke to, what happens when we, instead of fight against the limitation or try to rally against it or push through it, when we say this is a limitation, so what can I do with that? And if we start paying attention to where we are, what's around us, but it's so counter to our world to do that, to embrace limitation and to embrace ambiguity, not knowing what's going to happen. And I think this is where leadership comes in. Leaders come in and they say, I don't really know, but let's step in and see what we can do with this.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of our students who join our class, our year-long certification program. And at the very beginning, many of them, the question is, will I have a business as a coach, and how is it going to look like, and are you going to help me build that?
right,
it's like let's know how. Okay, I can feel this strong intention of becoming a coach. Yes, I definitely want to serve the world in this way, but I need a very clear path about the journey. It's okay if you have some limitations, as long as I know what they are and how to pass the test. And then, you know, I need a pretty outcome of how my coaching path is going to look like. So there is this desire for knowing. It's, you know, it reminds me of, you know, something that I learned this week. I heard it in the presentation that Richard Strozzi did in the International Congress based on somatics in Mexico, is that human beings have three basic desires. That we have a desire for safety. Am I going to be safe? Do I have what I need? Mm-hmm. The second one is a desire for belonging. Is will I be accepted? Will I be loved? Will I be part of the tribe? And the third one is our need, our desire for dignity. And how he defined dignity is our desire to have value in the world, to really contribute, to have a place in the world from a place of contribution. So if we think about this in terms of what you're talking about, of our needing to know the path or not wanting to not know anything, it's coming from these basic human desires. That, you know, I think that if we can learn to trust more our bodies and our hearts, this anxiety of not knowing would settle. But it requires practice. If we know that our natural instinct is to scan for safety, for belonging, and for dignity, and we think that we will find this three out there, this is what has us leave ourselves and forget what we were talking about initially of our initial contract of, you know, being our unique selves in the world and contributing the particular ways that we're meant to. We forget that because we think it's out there. So we need practices and we need guidance to help us to come back into who, to listen to who we actually are and to find safety, belonging, and dignity from the center of our place, of ourselves, as opposed to from somewhere outside of ourselves. I feel that this is very much of what we do in working with people in, you know, as integral coaches and in training new coaches, because it's all about, you know, what's your orientation to life today? How do you feel yourself today? And how can we support people as coaches to be able to come back to themselves so that they can orient to their life from their own center and place of contribution to the world that is essential to who they are as human beings.
Right.
So, you know, as you know, I said a lot about why, but so what I mean by practices is really activities that we repeat continuously to train ourselves to pay attention to something different. So, for example, a practice that I have around this particular topic is that every day, I always find one situation during the day where I look for what's the grace in here? How is grace manifesting here? So I particularly look for difficult situations. Let's say you're sitting in the middle of traffic and the sun is shining and you're late for your appointment and life doesn't feel that pretty in that moment. So I have this practice of asking myself, what's the grace in this? So that's a practice that helped me come back to myself.
Well, and one of the things I'm hearing you say that helps us enter the pilgrimage, maybe the pilgrimage of our life and become leaders in our own life is, you know what you're saying, paying attention to different things helps put us in contact with things that are true, but we aren't aware of. So quality, like, so you're example of like, what is the grace that is present here? That grace is always present, but we may not always be paying attention to it.
That's right.
Yeah. So how can we start to pay attention to things that are always present so that they are then more available to us? We have more access to them, and then they can then shift our experience of ourselves, of life. And then by the very nature of doing that, we respond differently. And I think that is one of the great things that happens in our class and in our, when working with clients, is the way in which small things like that can help shift how people see themselves and then respond to other people around them, and life starts to be different all of a sudden.
That's right. So then the next question is that, you know, let's say that we're trying to reorient our attention to love, and maybe that's, you know, something that we're working on, and we start having a self-reflection activity, something that we keep asking ourselves every day around, you know, can I receive the love here? Maybe when you're having a difficult conversation, or where you're walking on the street in the middle of a very busy street and nobody's talking to you, can I perceive the love here? But then what's important is then asking the next questions. What the next question, once our attention, our, not just our awareness, but our capacity to see, as you were talking about, expands to, okay, can I see the love even when we are having difficulty? Can I see the love in anger? Can I see the love in distress, etc.? Then the next question is, how do we respond to that? Right? So then what becomes part of our practice in our body to respond to the world from a body that not only sees distress, that not only sees conflict, but that also sees love? So we might start having different types of conversations as a practice.
Right.
Or we might adopt something like, you know, an act of kindness every day to start to keep, you know, inviting something in. So I feel that, you know, that's part of pilgrimage. That's part of a journey of transformation. That it has, it all, you know, this is why I love talking about pilgrimage and coaching, because it starts with an intention. And then you have to let go and keep coming back to the intention through the practices. So if my intention is to have more ease in my life, then, you know, stepping into the journey of that with a guy who would be a coach that would support you setting a set of practices and reflection activities, and then to immerse yourself in the journey, in particular in the part of not knowing, so that at the end of the journey, then we can discover who you become, who is not someone different from who you are, but closer to who you are truly meant to be.
Thank you for listening. This has been another episode of Stepping In. Please spread the word by sharing this podcast on social media, and let us know what you think by emailing us at steppingin@newventureswest.com. Until next time, take care.